This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
I'm not against anybody making money, but we cannot allow people to make money while others are dying. You know, Nigeria, we don't believe that anything can happen. Nobody takes government serious, but in our own case, they have no choice, but they will take us serious. I will not relent in this fight. And all of you should hire bulldozers or whatever. All those areas where they are in the bushu, they are in the Akriko, clear that place. Government will give you some money. You go and hire bulldozers and whatever. If you ask excavator or whatever, go and clear it so they know that we are serious.
Governor Yetsun Wike, I think that was 2 days ago. And here we are again talking about the situation and matters arising. Biogeographer and environmental manager Utiasa Christian joins me on the show this morning. Good morning, Christian. Thank you for your time. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. I'm sure you also received...
Congratulations on your marriage.
Excuse me? No, that wasn't me.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm sure you were pleased when you heard the governor in the beginning of the year saying that the government would no longer, you know, condone the actions and activities of illegal oil refiners.
No, I'm not totally pleased. In one breath, I was happy somehow, but not totally, because a lot needs to be done. And that lot is not just on the Rivers State government. The stakeholders constituting these problems are many. The problem is hydrated. And the problem, the alternative for gone for stopping environmental suits generally, they are all negatives. And I strongly believe that all the stakeholders do not have what it takes to stop the suit.
Who are the stakeholders?
Yes, the stakeholders are the Nigerian state and the subnational government and the entire populace.
And you said it all falls on negative.
Yes. You know, the alternative for gun, right now, if you look at it, if you stop suits, or which the causative factors of suits, which is predominantly is illegal refinery, artisanal refinery. What the implications of doing that, assuming they're able to do in the first place, is all negatives. And I will explain to you. Now, there are so many causative factors of the suit we see. Now, beyond slow fire, there is also the activities of some companies who naturally produce suits. There are the activities of even car drivers who produce suits. So let's keep all those minor ones at bay. Let's discuss now the illegal refineries. Now, you know, as a primary economics, why do you think any trade thrives?
Demand and supply.
Because there is a demand and supply. The federal government, which has not been able to provide this petroleum product needed for the day-to-day life of citizens, have created a market for the legal refiners to supply. The legal refiners, you make business. Nigerian Info is in business because it provides a service that is needed by people. The legal refiners are in business because the Nigerian population needs kerosene. They need diesel. They need petroleum fuel to drive their cars. And these things are not there by those who a priority should be able to provide them. And that is the service they are providing. So it will come to a point that citizens will even ignorantly forgo the health implications and begin to attack government because if the government fail to provide these things.
But let's look at other oil producing states. How many of them have this level of activity of illegal refineries going on? Don't they also have a shortage of, you know, the petroleum products that you just mentioned?
Okay, you know, that's a very fine question. You will see that there is no oil producing state that is immune of illegal refineries. In fact, I can tell you, it has degenerated or spread into pipeline communities, and it is going to even states that are not in any way related with oil. You will see that very soon you'll find illegal refineries in Kaduna, because there's a pipeline leading to the Kaduna refineries. Lagos, they started refining in Lagos. Lagos does not produce oil, but there is a pipeline, Atlas Cove is there. So people have started, the markets will begin to boom as long as government fails to do what it ought to do. I'll also tell you, you can see that the trade is going on at different scales, which is the essence of the question, at different scales in different states. You know why? Because the processes, the procedure, the policies of other contributing factors, causative factors, the way it's being addressed is different in these other states. Now look at not unemployment rates and in the different states. You will see that the state with the highest unemployment rate does the illegal refinery more. Look at other minor crimes like cultism. You will see that the state that does less cultism will do less artisanal refineries. The state that do more cultism will do more of artisanal refineries. So you see that crime fighting, when you fight crime in one way, they must be engaged somewhere, either legitimately or illegitimately. And again, let me tell you something. If a man is obstructed towards his goal, definitely aggression is innate and it is inevitable. If you're coming to work early and you know that Ina will be late if she comes to work by 8:30, you left your house 6 o'clock, 6:30, and I block your road for no just cause. That's the point. After appeal, you will go into aggression, because aggression is naturally innate in you. That is what the Niger Delta people, most of them, feel that these properties are theirs and that these resources are theirs, and they are not getting the best of it. Now, let me also tell you, there is something they do, society do. They relinquish what they have, their powers, to the government in expectation of the right things to be done to them by the government. Now, through episodes, unremediated episodes of oil spill, livelihoods, traditional livelihoods are dead. They are in extinction. Nothing is done through the tax money accruing from this oil exploration by the respective governments to build alternative livelihoods. My parents cannot fish again. They will come back home. This morning I heard you speaking that children will be hungry, whether the parents have it or not. When the parent does not have, he will pursue other means to make sure he puts food at the table of his family, of his children. Anything you do to preserve life is considered not a bad thing to some extent. That is why you're finding this. I will also take you this way. The other day, I had somebody talking about certain things, and various people trivialize every other thing on the altar of politics. It's not so. We should be able to sift what is good from what is bad. Now, there is a legally legislated 13% derivation, is there not? The 13% derivation money is targeted at these producing communities because of the environmental footprints that they will suffer. Has it been rightly applied to these communities?
Who is supposed to apply the 13%?
The 13% derivatives are in the hands of the various Niger Delta states governments.
Okay.
So this, when we talk about environmental justice, it is not just at the federal level. It is even at the state level.
Okay, so you said that there's other causative factors that explain why River State has a high or the highest number of artisanal refineries.
Yes, that is the situation. The causative factors are many. I'm just giving you a few. There are many. And those things you cannot choose and pick in addressing them. If you say they should stop, which is good, it's causing problems for all of us. Where do you provide alternative for them to? They will go back to logging. The rural people will go back to logging. Logging in itself has environmental issues. One is to also produce food. Then the carbon sequestration, the job that it does, another job that it does, will be compounded.
Okay. So let's look at how the soot in the air, on the land, and the process of distillation affects the environment.
It's very simple. This thing they do, the legal refineries, what do? let me give you a small, a brief detail of what it is. What is the trend of hydrocarbons? Hydrocarbons are the remains of plants and animals that have gone into the earth crust over geologic years. Geologic just means long period of millions or thousands of years, not just 10 years, 15. So over geologic years. Then people go to exploit it and bring it out to the surface. Now, when they bring the crude to the surface, they need to crack it. But this cracking is not done in a crude manner. So you have incomplete combustion or pyrolysis of hydrocarbon. These are what produces the soot. The soot are particulate matters of different dimensions. Now, what is the effect of soot to the environment? First, if the soot becomes even too much, even flight, I can tell you flight can be rescheduled or cancelled. That is number one. Don't forget, this particular soot we are talking about in River State and the Niger Delta are hydrocarbon-based. There are petroleum-based particulate matters. And if not for anything, there are three dangerous things of this nature, suit of this nature will cost you. First, they produce cancer for you. Two, they are metagenic. Three, they can disfigure your DNA. That is why pregnant women who inhale this suit to a particular point, if God is not with them, at some point they'll be delivering children that are deformed. So that is number one. Now, there is another aspect of it. When you begin to inhale, your nervous system will be affected. These are life-threatening issues. Now, it's not just inhale. There are some particles fall on the surface. That is why you see your house being dusty, black, and all those kind of things. Some particles falls on your water surface. For those who have open tanks, it falls. Or for those who are breeding fish, aquaculture and all that, it falls. You kill that fish, you take it. At the end of the day, man is the final consumer. So you are taking in so many poisons, toxins into your system. If you have some fall naturally as atmospheric deposition on the sea, on the surface water, that is open seas, when they fall, by virtue of that falling, fish will feed on them. When it feeds on them, some go into the water current, some go into the seabed, which is the sediment. Either way, there are species that dwell on the sediment. They will eat. The fisherman will go eventually. He will kill them. He will bring. Man will eat it. That is where we compound our problems. The various health issues you are hearing are not magical. This is how they come from. So it's a no-no thing. There is no good aspect of soot. Now, take away that aspect. The soot also by deposition, atmospheric deposition, falls on the leaves of plant. It causes something we call phyrosis. The plants will not be able to breathe again. It will die. Don't forget, this plant takes in carbon dioxide and gives you oxygen. So that exchange of carbon dioxide and oxygen to capture that carbon dioxide in the system, the plants help. And when that plant is not able to do its ecosystem services, then you see that there will be too much of carbon dioxide, and it's not good for man. The age of man will begin to reduce.
Life expectancy.
Life expectancy will begin to reduce. And when it goes into, it becomes too excessive, your production, agricultural production, will be affected. So you are talking about food insecurity over time. Don't also forget that some of the ecosystem services, what we mean by ecosystem services, those services the plant or any natural thing renders to you unpaid, part of it is that from plants you have medicine. You will not be having those medicine again. Part of it is that there are birds and other animals that feed on those plants to remain alive. They will be starving. They will begin to die. And whatever that dies, it has an implication on public health and man's survival.
Okay, so I'm sure that there's more you can tell us about this. You could tell us about this, but there are some people that argue that this is the first time that what they would term as dividends of democracy has reached their hands, that in rural areas, you actually have people having money for the first time in their adult years or throughout their lives from the activities of illegal refiners. And there also is the matter of the disposal of their waste when they produce, and also the what happens when they vandalize the pipelines to get the crude. How different is this from what, you know, has become the outcome of what has become UNEP reports? How different is this from the cleanup that, you know, the UNEP report is supposed to cover?
No, let me say this. There is a word in the English dictionary called pirate. Whatever community persons, local community persons, see as a gain with the issue of artisanal refinery is actually pirate. It does more harm than good. It destroys the environment faster, much faster than what the companies do. Now that is one. Number two, when the ones that the company do, two things may happen. You can hold them responsible to come and remediate the environment, as it is happening in Ogoni with the UNEP report. You can also take private legal actions, either individually or mass actions, to seek to remedy your rights, your loss of fishing farm, your loss of fishing in whatever, your farms and all those things. But when these non-state actors go to do and damage the environment in even a larger quantity, larger rate, who do you sue? Who do you hold to ransom? Who do you hold to come and remedy the environment? There is this, a principle of environment called polluters pay. If you pollute, you must pay. The polluters pay originated from the basis of the fact that environmental externalities should not be left to the government to claim. Now, what the polluters pay principle is saying is that if you're planning to open Nigerian Info, you will know that there are papers that you need to shred. You know that there are other things, your generator will bring fumes. As you're planning, budgeting for your production costs, also budget for environmental problems that you will generate. You don't leave it for the River State government to come and clean up that, because River State government, in the first place, does not have money. Government does not have money. The money that you think government has belongs to all of us. So those environmental externalities should not be left for all of us. You cannot go and mess up a road and expect that every reverse man should contribute to cleaning up that road. No.
But that's what's happening. Taxpayers' money.
Yes. But again, a polluter pays principle imposes a responsibility on the government and the regulators. What is the responsibility? The government has a duty to identify who pollutes. If you don't identify who pollutes, who do you arrest to enforce him to remedy that environment? In the case of the IOCs, it's because we're able to identify them. In Ogoni, it's because Shell has been identified. That is why they are holding them to remedy. In the case of Bunkri or illegal refining, who have you identified? Who can you identify? Who can you hold to ransom to come and do cleanup or remedy the environment? And they do it at large scale, uncontrolled. The fact that they call it illegal or artisanal means it is without form, without some form of control. Civilized way. There is no mechanized or dictated program, process of producing this oil. So in the course of producing one drum of diesel or any of those products, they can decide to waste so much to the environment at the detriment of environment. Again, where they are producing it, if you go there, you will see that vegetation is massively lost. Now, when vegetation is massively lost, go back to what I've just told you. The vegetation, beyond doing environmental sequestration, they also add to erosional problems because they strengthen the soil. The soil texture, the soil profile, productivity, soil quality around those areas are a problem. And these things sometimes remain in the soil for a long time. Now, when they remain in the soil for a long time, a few things happen. Even when the artisanal refiners had gone, These things remain in the soil to become what we call legacy pollutants. Legacy. You know, if a man dies, sometimes you say, what are the legacies he left behind? When the man is there, there will not be legacy. It is only when the man dies, you count of legacies. So at the commissioning, at the duration of a project, you may not realize these pollutants. But if they are not removed and they left when the commissioning occurs, over time they become legacies. And what is legacy? The legacy becomes even more complex, more potent in terms of reactivity than even initial, because it changes, some of them changes and transform the state. In the killing, when you see pollutants begin to kill, toxins begin to kill, it is not just their stoichiometric presence that matters most. Stoichiometric presence simply means the quantity of that pollutant. If it's heavy metal, the quantity of chromium that's there. It's important, but that is not even the two important things. There is something we call a vibration state. In what state is it acting? If it acts in a state that is a mass killer, it kills more than the other same metal, but the state in which it is not a mass killer. I will exemplify it for you. Now, let's look at chromium, for those who have a little bit of science. Let's look at chromium. Chromium can exist in chromium 3, it can exist in chromium 4, it can exist in chromium 6. Chromium 3 is not too water soluble. That means it cannot dissolve too much of water. So some level of filtration can remove them. So their hyperreactivity is a bit low. Even if their presence, their quantum, their stoichiometric quantum is high, the way it will kill human beings will be a bit slow. Okay. But if you go to chromium 6, that is very water soluble, you will see that its hyperreactivity is very high.
So which are we dealing with?
We are dealing with all of them in more complex ways.
Wow.
Because some of them even changes form to become VOCs, volatile organic compounds. And the sediment, they go to the sediment. Now let me shock you. If after all these things, let's say it takes about 40, 50 years to regenerate a messed up site, the pollutants have sunk into the sediment. Let's believe that there is something we call turbation. Turbation. Turbation comes from the word turbulence. It's like you're flying in the air. There is this wind and all that. They say there is turbulence. Have you? In environmental management, there's something we call turbation. Two things. Turbation can be in two forms. Either bio or anthro. When they call bio, it means biological agents cause that turbation. Those toxins that have sunk into the soil, there are some fish. Like in my Calabari Palace, there is a fish they call a wall. It's like a tortoise, but it can stretch its neck and bite. It's rough. Fish go to do their training sessions, they fight and all those kind of things. When they do two things. They either scavenge or they exhume these pollutants, these toxins, back into the water stream. But their own activity is on the lower scale. When turbation is caused by a man, it's called anthropogenic turbation. Those ones are of the larger scale. If for any reason anybody goes to throw dynamite in course of seismic operation, you have either scavenged or exhumed these pollutants that become so complex in the soil back to the river, back to the water stream, back to the surface for species to eat, for man to kill those species to eat. So at the food chain, if you look at the food chain, man is the highest final consumer. And that is why everything a man does to the environment is actually doing to himself. So the scale in the Ogoni UNEP report, you have an identity of somebody who messed up the environment. In the black suit or the suit per se or the illegal refinery, you have no identity of the persons causing these problems. What do you hold?
All right. Otiasa, please hold on. We have to play commercial. We'll continue talking after this. But for those who may not know, online, iqair.com/Nigeria/Port Harcourt, Rivers Port Harcourt shows that the air pollution level is unhealthy. The air quality index is 178 US AQI. The main pollutant, PM2.5. What it says, is that in Port Harcourt, the air quality is currently 21.4 times above the WHO annual air quality guideline value. 21.4 times. What does that mean? That the air has reached a high level of pollution and is unhealthy for sensitive groups. Reduce time spent outside if you're feeling symptoms such as difficulty breathing or throat irritation. We'll continue talking after the commercial. We are Nigerian for Port Harcourt. My name is Eno Ogbeviri. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We've got 22 minutes before we wrap up the conversation, talking to a biogeographer, Otiasa Christian, and we're looking at some of the matters arising from the situation in Rivers State. Bottom line, the air quality is still unhealthy. 178 on one page. Another page, it's giving 185. you know, sometimes it looks like it's a lot of English that's been spoken, but bottom line, the air quality is unhealthy. Means that what people are inhaling could kill them in the long run. Would it be 5 years? Would it be 10 years? Is it happening now? So let's come to you. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. 0817-923-0009. So the River State government has said Etiko government area will get, or chairman will get 20 million. Put that together, it comes to 460 million. We've not discussed how that money came out. Was it approved by council? But he said that already. Bulldoze, whatever you need to do, just get it done. So I'm asking, because a lot of us are in these local government areas, whether we live there, whether we're from there, whether we visited in the last 1-2 years to see exactly what's going on. Although nobody agreed anything was going on until now. what needs to happen? What needs to happen for the situation to be successfully tackled in the local government areas? Because that's where the cooking is taking place. What needs to happen? If they demolish all the sites that they find, will that stop it? If the names of those who have been declared by the government wanted are caught, will that stop it? If the 20 million naira is expended, will that stop it? We're live on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH, on Twitter we're at Nigeria Info PH. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Eno.
Yes, you're on.
My name is Baridi Giadom, the radio governor. What needs to happen? The government of the state should be sincere in fighting this bunkery of it. Because they're not being sincere. I hope they will destroy their own camps too in the bush. Hello. Yeah. I hope they will just destroy their own, all these local government chairman destroy things up and down. I hope they will destroy their own.
How do you know that they have their own?
Hello?
How do you know that they have their own?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
You got information from a reliable source that they have their own,
that is not refineries?
Yes, in the bush, yes.
Okay, so if you take what that person, that reliable source has told you, what you're thinking is that they may not destroy their own camps.
They may not destroy their own camps. They know what they are doing.
What are they doing?
They are playing politics with this they are playing politics with it. Enough politics is going on.
So how does politics come in?
Hello?
How does politics come in?
It's a government that has 3-5 good years in office, you know.
Six. Seven.
Are you aware the election is
seven? Seven.
Hello?
7 years.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I said 7 years. Next year is 2023. Government.
They spent more than 5 years in office.
7 years it is now.
And suddenly now, the governor came out and said, there's nothing we can do about it. We should vote.
No, but he's changed his mind. He's now doing something.
He's not doing something. What is he not doing? Destroying this illegal coal fire refinery and the rest.
Yes.
Are you aware that they are burning them and it's costing?
That's why we're having the conversation this morning, sir.
Yeah, they are burning them and it's costing more suits. I came outside this morning at 2 feet.
What area?
At George Agnes.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so you want them to be, you know, honest in what they're doing. Good morning. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, for me, desperate times require for desperate measures. Whatever the government can do to make sure that we mitigate this whole menace, because I doubt if it's going to be completely stopped. So I'm choosing my words now. Mitigate and ensure that this thing is somewhat drastically reduced. For me, like your guest said, stakeholders should be involved. Everybody, me, you. You know, I told your colleague the other time, there was a time that the media was quiet about this.
What media?
I'm talking about the media house.
Well, generally. not Nigerian folk, not our sister stations.
And let me give you a typical example. In fact, I have to pick up this with Dayo. At a point, he was always on daily basis reporting the air quality index in River State.
Yes.
He stopped. I'm aware that
It's funny how the citizens have mastered the art of leaving those they voted into office who have their money and their lives and drag the media. If the people If people calling to say we're not breathing well, then we'll go there and see what's going on. But if we want to talk about their brothers who are fighting each other every day, you talk about the atmosphere, they're quiet. People say, environmentalists say, oh, let's go out and remind the governor, the government about this. People are quiet. You cannot drag the media.
No, see, let me tell you, I said at a point, the media was silent about this. I said at a point, and I'm just trying to give you instances. You know, there was a time that the air quality index was on air, and we were conscious about that. It stopped. You know, after the protest led by the likes of Steve Obodokwe and Ken Henshaw, sometime in River State,
2016.
Even the civil society relaxed. So for me, like I said, your guest said, all hands must be on deck. All hands, me, you, because we all are affected, the rich and the poor. Everybody is affected. The very communities where these things are taking place, for me, government should begin to, you know, place their radar on the community leaders. See, the community leaders cannot pretend that they do not know what is happening.
But I'm sure you know who the chief community leaders are.
I don't know. I can only talk about my own community.
No,
leader.
Hold on. Who's the chief community leader in any community? Do you know? Okay. Let's get back to Christian. Christian, thank you for staying tuned. Let's talk about, you know, this matter of the River State doesn't have a commissioner for environment and a commissioner for health. And some environmentalists have said that this is as much a health concern as an environmental crisis.
Yes, Emma, I will speak on that, but let me give you one very important aspect of this suit. It is important. If we don't do that, that will be a disservice. Now, there is an emission. I talked about the polluter pay principle. Beyond that, the government ought to do what we call emission inventory. That is to say, if you see this kind of suit, you know who produces it. There's an inventory for that, so you know who to go for it.
Now, there's something we call ozone. You know, you've heard of it. Ozone is an envelope of gas that prevents the direct heat of the sun from touching us, if not all of us will burn. Now, over the ozone is an unstable gas. Oxygen has its formula, capital O, subscript 2. But the ozone has capital O, subscript 3, meaning it has a molecule, an atom, that it wants to give out at every point in time, so it's unstable. Now, the ozone, when these emissions, these fumes, this soot goes into the atmosphere, it goes to deplete the ozone. It mixes with other organisms, other substances, generally called ozone depleting substances, ODS, and depletes the ozone. When the ozone lining begins to deplete, the heat will freeze, but the ozone will not be able to do that which God has created it to do effectively, and will begin to feel more heat. That accounts for the increased heat that we face on Earth. Now, that is the stratospheric ozone. Stratosphere is in kilometer zero to about kilometer 15 of the atmosphere. Now, there is another type of ozone. Listen very carefully. That is what we call the ground level ozone. Early morning, when from sea beaches and all that, that ground level ozone is very dangerous, particularly to children. Now, you know, you can just imagine when this ozone and the soot mix together, what will be facing. That is number one. Now, you asked a question. What was your question?
Some environmentalists have said it's as much a health concern.
The absence of strategic in the commissioners. Pamuno Ibix was sacked, or whether he resigned, by whatever nomenclature we want to go, since March 2001.
He was sacked.
If I do my mathematics well, that is about 10 months. A government that claims to be serious about fighting environmental problems cannot do so without a commissioner. The related, these things are related, the related ministry again, which is health, was sacked December.
Governor's birthday.
Under normal circumstances, 1-2 days maximum, another person should have been reappointed. There is COVID going on. COVID will be exacerbated by suit. Now, there is no commissioner for environment, there is no commissioner for health. You can just imagine now. It does not in any way show seriousness on the part of government. Who implements the policies the governor puts in place? Is it the governor going to the bush every night?
The local that government chairman, and they have been ably mobilized.
No, they cannot. Most of these local governments, go and check their ESCO. There is no expert knowledge in their ESCO about environment. There is no expert knowledge. Just anybody who starts me well can become the supervisor of health. Anybody who starts me well can be supervisor of it. But there is no supervisor of environment in most of these LGs. Who does? Now, there must be a compatibility in the state, and the LGs must work together. As the government makes a pronouncement, it is the duty of the commissioner to distill it and come up with guidelines, things that are actionable, that if he takes to the local government, then they work symbiotically in doing these things. They too will have to bring the feedback, because it's an open system. You feedback to them and all that. These things are not there. And very importantly, because these two commissioners, from what I've observed, and I must be very strong in saying it, because of the absence of these two commissioners, other persons in government ESCO may likely go to lie to the governor to take spontaneous actions against even innocent citizens. I say it. So it is important. The governor cannot be everywhere at the same time. The local government in chairman will do their part. But there is a coordinated people they should call to. The governor has so much to do. It is in Abuja for either governmental functions or political functions. Then as administration, governance should be at standstill. No. There should be somebody they will call. There are no dedicated lines they will call. Because some of the problems will keep blaming community leaders and all that. Well, the community, these crimes go on sometimes with so much element of violence. Who secures them?
Does that also mean that there is a weak security structure?
Yes, of course, that is obvious in this state. It has improved a little bit, but it does not mean it has been eliminated. I mean, it creates so many security crimes are not reported. Okay, now look at it. Let's just look at the geography of the governor's action. He has gone to upland areas. Which creek, which mangrove has he gone to?
are there no lives living there?
Well, he said they should, well, they're setting up task forces, so perhaps that's the response, you know.
Some of the local government chairman does not know even the geography of the LGs.
Really?
I can tell you this. Yes. And now, quote me. They do not know all the geography of the LGs. So when you give them money, what do you want to do? They will rely on some intelligence. They need to learn to process the intelligence. Have you taught them? Have you trained them on that? You don't expect maximum input from your staff that you have not trained very well. Then, who will work with them? The security. If the governor can shout at the state level that security are not being in, is that at the local government level? All what right. do they do?
Hold on, hold on.
It will boil down to producing more non-state actors.
Hmm. Let's take this call. Ouch. Okay, it dropped. So more non-state actors, and that's a concern that a lot of people have raised, saying that the suit, the crime, the illegal refineries replaced kidnapping. And some people have raised concerns and said, if you take away the refineries from them, they will return to kidnapping. And then if we have a weak security structure, where does that leave us?
You know, I've said it at my opening statement that the causative factors of what we popularly call suit are many. And in terms of handling them, you cannot choose and pick.
Mm.
And that is why I have my greatest doubt that illegal refinery and the resultant suit will end soon. Now, there is also the case of employment, unemployment. Many people go into this not even minding their personal health because they have nothing to do. They have no legitimate thing to do. So what about that? If you stop them, they'll come back to armed robbery. They'll come back to, in fact, I don't really know. They are all negatives.
Mm. But then again,
take your time. They are all negatives.
But then again, is it possible that? Yeah, the question just escaped me when you were talking about non-state actors.
Crime mutates. Just like you see this COVID virus mutate.
Mm.
Crime mutates. If you stop this way, it hides and I hibernate for a time, then come up somewhere.
Okay. Someone just asked the question that environmentalists like you should stop criticizing the burning of the products when they are seized.
Yes. It's the same thing. If you listen to my line, but when you burn, what do you do? You commit more crime. Okay, the artisanal refiners burn, like I said, they do it crudely.
Mm.
But in that crude way, they are able to produce a product that is sold. There is a commerce, there is a generation of income, there is the economics of it. But this one you burn, the soot you generate, that emission, the dangerous emission you produce into the atmosphere becomes worse, even massive. Then at no gain, even if it's a dangerous gain, at no gain, no economics about it. So you create more problems in the environment.
Mm.
You create more problems. It's not about burning. What they should have done is to collect it, decant it into an NPC in the facilities. If it is of low quality, improve the quality.
Okay.
Don't burn it more into the atmosphere.
Okay, Tony.
Because you create more emissions for all the devilish circles that are painted.
Tony is asking a question. Says, what are other parts of the country doing to have kerosene without illegal refineries that River State government has failed to do? We keep blaming the federal. Yes.
Check like what? Is it easy to claim? Where in the countries that are getting the kerosene?
So that takes us back to the question that you answered, and you said the other causative factors, because if we do not have kerosene, Edo doesn't have, Akwa Ibom doesn't have, Cross River doesn't have, then why do we have the volume of artisanal refineries that we have?
Now, also match other statistics. These states you have called, also match other statistics. Find out what is their dependability on LPG gases, cooking gases.
Mm.
Who uses more gas cookers? You cannot say Lagos uses kerosene much more than River State. No, you cannot say so. So these persons who uses kerosene more that cannot find kerosene will resort to either logging, firewood, or they will resort to any other source, not minding the legality of that source that gives them that product or something close to that product.
All right, thank you very much.
I'm from Soku. I witnessed the what did they call
operation, the illegal mining and all those kind of things. For 5 years, it was spilling. Nobody talked. And I know how many human beings that got burnt per day. Over 1,000 souls got burnt. And nothing happened.
All right.
By condescent. The government has not questioned. Local government has not questioned. No study has been done. The community does not have what it takes to do all the requisite studies.
Now I remember the question I wanted to ask you.
Yes,
is the government working with environmentalists on this? Do you know?
The government is not working with any environmentalist. In the absence of the commissioner who calls the stakeholders, in all the meetings you see, you hear the government call. As it calls professionals, it's calling political players.
All right. Thank you very much, Otiasa Christian. We have to run. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, man.
All right, that was Otiasa Christian, a biogeographer and environmental manager. My name is Enol Gbevere. It's live on Facebook at Nigerian4PH and on Twitter at Nigerian4PH, also on YouTube. Good morning.